Welcome to The Point. I'm Mindy Todd. Later in the hour, we talk with a Cape Cod High School student who is a talented musician, recording artist, and has two Grammy nominations under his belt. But first, we discuss the new short film, White Space, which explores the lives and experiences of four women of color living on Cape Cod. With us is Michael Sestero. He's the filmmaker and founder of Up Above Creative. Welcome, Michael.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Also with us are two women who are featured in the film, Ozelle Andrelot. She grew up on Cape Cod. She's a performer, business owner, and mother. Welcome.
Hello. Thank you very much for having me.
Oh, thanks for being here. And Muska Yusuf, she also grew up on Cape Cod. She's a family attorney who has been recognized for her work in advancing civil rights and civil liberties. Good morning, Muska.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Sure. Michael, why did you want to explore this topic of white space, and how did you find the subjects for the film?
That's a great question. It all kind of came together. How, where, and why all kind of came together all at once. I was given the opportunity to use the space that the film was made in at the Hawthorne Barn in Provincetown, and I really liked the idea of space, giving space, and kind of what that means, and almost kind of serendipitously, I was speaking with Muska and others about the idea of white space, the idea of safe space. The idea came to kind of give that space to people of color to kind of give space to allow them to express themselves however they needed to. I knew that I needed four people who could express themselves on camera. And I just got so, it was just a strike of luck that, we have two musicians, an attorney, and an artist, and kind of who better to express themselves than people from that line. So,
yeah. Muska, your family came to the Cape from Afghanistan when you were quite small, and you attended school in the Nauset School District. Do you remember when you first started to notice racism in your community?
Yeah, so I think it started very, very early, but it wasn't clear to me at the time that what I was experiencing was because I was different. And so I would say very young in terms of people, teasing me about my name or, the texture of my hair, the length of my nose, that kind of thing, was when I first noticed that there was something about the community that I was growing up in that didn't recognize this as something different than just, kids teasing each other, that there was another element to it.
Yeah. Mizelle, what were your early experiences with racism on the Cape, and did your family have conversations about racism and how to handle it?
I can remember, little things, like Muska said, parent-teacher conferences and the teacher being so very confused as to who this white lady was. Mm-hmm. And she's looking down at her paper, like, do I have the right kid? My mom was just very matter of fact, like, I'm Mozell's mother. You're going to see me around here a lot. And so it was the way that she handled things, I think, right in the moment that it didn't seem like an issue, when I was little. I didn't quite know what was going on. And I don't know, I'm not saying that was racism either, but it was a lot of little events having to do with my race here on Cape Cod, certainly.
Yeah. Mm. Another woman featured in the film is singer-songwriter Tiana Esperanza. She grew up on the Cape as well and lives in Wellfleet. We have a clip of Tiana from the film. Let's take a listen.
Oh, great.
I think my whole life I've walked into spaces and without saying it, asking the question, will you accept me? Will you accept me as queer? Will you accept me as black? Will you accept me as a woman? I think that's where a lot of that that pain comes in when you become more aware too, because you realize that you're asking people to give you the respect that you actually already deserved. Having to ask that about something that I can't change, something that I don't want to change, something that, you know, I just am.
Acceptance, respect, these should be basic human rights that are not predicated on a person's race or gender or sexuality. Michael, talk about the phrase white space in the context of the film. Is it white usurpation for respect or normal in addition to being a reference to race?
You know, I'm just kind of fell in love with the term. It wasn't one that I was familiar with right away. It was actually one that I heard from Muska, and when she said it, it kind of hit me like a bus. Like because there's a visual aspect to it, and it does have multiple meanings to me, I think, and as well in the film. The fact that it's filmed in, you know, very much a space, and just the concept of a space being unfriendly, being different, or rather a space making someone feel different, mm-hmm. You know, just having that power that this is a white space,
right.
It set the tone, I think, for what I was about to kind of see and put together mm-hmm. for that.
We have another clip from the film to share. This is Alejandra. She's an artist who was born in Peru and grew up on the Cape.
There's a lot of fear in that, of like not wanting to stand out too much. For a long time. That's why I think about the importance of like creating your own freedom. Even in the space of fear, and the space of so much paranoia, but it's like, how do you move forward and how do you keep going?
The majority of people listening to this broadcast have likely never had the experience of walking into a room and not seeing people who look like them. The emotion in Alejandra's voice helps us get a sense of how difficult it can be to simply show up and be present. Mizelle, walking into a space where no one looks like you, what are your first instincts or feelings in that moment?
Physically, I think I used to get smaller. I used to want to just kind of glide through the room and not really have all eyes on me. But that was never the case. So I got taller and taller and taller. And until I think part of my performance and singing and being in front of a crowd is kind of taking over that feeling. Now I'm in front of that crowd, which is often very much a white space, but I feel like with that, with my music and performing, I've kind of switched that, what that white space used to mean to me. Instead of making me shrink, now I'm in front of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it's like you've gotten older, perhaps more confident in your personal and professional roles, so sort of that's had an impact here, right?
Absolutely. And when I was younger, and I talk about this in the film, I always wondered, I always felt everybody's eyes on me, and I wondered why. And I didn't put it, you know, I didn't put it together until much later, like, oh, these are all white faces looking at me in a non-friendly way, you know, probably till I was like 10 or 11.
Yeah, but I love your mom. She was like, you'd say, why are all these people looking at me? Your mom would say, because you're so pretty.
And I never, and I was like, oh, okay, thank you. And it just, it really did. It really helped build that confidence and helped me stand straighter in that white space. And I will always thank her for that, because that was certainly a lovely answer and one that I would have hoped that I could have thought of so quickly.
Muska, you're an attorney, Muska, a profession that requires a certain level of comfort being seen and heard. Is the experience of being a woman of color different on Cape Cod than it was when you were in college, law school, or practicing law in a more diverse place?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, I wish I could say I had a story like Moselle's where, you know, I'm at a place where I feel more confident. But for me, I'm not there yet. I mean, when I walk into any kind of professional field, and when I step into a courtroom, I don't feel confident at all. I feel on guard. I feel like I have to be above and beyond because I still feel as though my intellect and my expertise is questioned all the time. And I give an example all the time of, you know, very recently winning a case and having the opposing attorney kind of badger me about whether or not I'm a licensed attorney to begin with. And then went so far as to call my law school to see whether I actually was a graduate of that law school. Now, these are not things that I think happen to every attorney. And so, you know, I still panic every time I go into a courtroom, every time I'm meeting another attorney. And I feel like I don't have the luxury of being mediocre. If I'm not twice as good as everybody else, you know, I'm going to be heavily judged on that basis. And I'm still in my civil rights work. When I'm entering white spaces, I'm coming into that space and I'm shaking things up and I'm holding people accountable. And so I am obviously still nervous every time I do that. So I hope I get to a point where I feel like I don't have to be on guard and I don't have to be twice as good as everybody else just to get respect. But unfortunately, I'm not there yet.
We do have another clip from the film, and this is from you, Muska. Let's take a listen.
So when you walk into a white space, I think you have two choices. You can either assimilate and try not to draw any attention to yourself so you're just like everybody else, or the opposite, which is then you become like the spokesmodel for all people of color.
So it creates this kind of double consciousness where you're experiencing something painful and at the same time almost apologizing to the person who is making you feel that way.
So in the first part of that clip, you describe being put in the position of becoming the spokesmodel for all people of color. When Michael approached you about the film, were you concerned about becoming the spokesperson yet again?
No, I think when he approached me, I felt as though I was finally getting the time to speak about my pain. And I think that too often when we're either trying to assimilate or we're trying to be the spokesmodel, we have to prop ourselves up as if we're these superhuman, strong individuals when, you know, we rarely ever get to show our vulnerability and our pain. And for me, it was very important in this position and in this opportunity in this film to show that vulnerability. And so I am forever grateful to Michael for giving me that opportunity to show that real side. Because I think, especially I'm thinking about, you know, young people of color on the Cape, I think they need to see the holistic side, that yes, we are strong, yes, we did overcome, but there's still pain there. And it's okay to feel that pain. And it's okay to express it because there are people out there like Michael and other wonderful white allies that will hear our pain and they won't think we're weak because of it, but they'll give us that space and that time to express it.
We're talking about the short film White Space, which explores the lives and experiences of four women of color living on Cape Cod. We'll talk more after a quick break. You're listening to The Point. We're talking about the short film White Space, which explores the lives and experiences of four women of color living on Cape Cod. With us is Michael Sestero. He's the filmmaker and founder of Up Above Creative. And with us, two women featured in the film, Moselle Anderlot and Muska Yusof, and We were talking about being a spokesmodel for people of color. And Mizzell, I wanted to ask you the same thing. Do you get tired of being asked to talk, about your experiences with racism? And do you have concerns about being seen as a spokesperson for people of color?
It was interesting. I think that Mike and I and Joe Navis, the photographer on the film, we all joked about, like, you know, I'm sorry, I'm coming to you. I don't want you to, you know, the token black person. And we joked about that. But, I mean, that it's not like that at all. Like Muska said, it's an actual real opportunity to share. And to share with all of our allies and everybody who's interested in this topic, young people, just to share our experience. I did not feel, you know, taken advantage of, you know, for being asked at all. I think it was wonderful. Yeah. But we did joke about it.
Yeah. Michael, you mentioned that it's filmed in the Hawthorne Barn in Provincetown, which is an incredibly beautiful space. In the first few seconds of the film, the music, which stops abruptly as the barn door opens and Alejandra enters, and as soon as she shuts the door, the music resumes. Talk about that scene and the role of the barn in the film.
Absolutely, yeah. You know, you talked about the idea of walking into a white space and the weight that comes with that. And that's exactly what that first scene represents, is entering a white space. And I wanted to give that scene special treatment where everything stops and we have to pay attention to the person who's coming into the space. Because it's kind of the tone for the whole film, that right now we're all just going to sit and listen and be with these four women in this space. You know, she's also out of focus when she first comes in, and she comes into focus. And also, like I said, there's a lot of lucky creative happenings that kind of happened. But there was also an American flag draped over one of the walls just to the left when she's walking in. Mm-hmm. And being an immigrant and entering this space anonymously, you know, because she's blurred out. So there's the whole film is kind of heavy with kind of subtle metaphor. But that scene definitely kind of set the tone. And Alejandra just, I asked her to walk into the space and do whatever it is that she kind of felt comfortable doing once she walked in. We did it in one take, and it kind of gave me the idea for the whole film, that one scene. Mm.
Yeah. Mizzell, what can people do to make sure their actions make everyone, especially those who might be seen or feel as, you know, as other? How do we make them feel accepted and respected?
So since the film, it's been really interesting. I've had, you know, certain people come up to me, and I had a really lovely friend who came up to me and she said, I want to talk about, you know, what, you know, thank you for talking about what white space was like for you. We watched it with my family. And I want to say to you, I'm so thankful that you let me into your black space, and that as a white person, I got to experience friendship with a black person here on Cape Cod. And I started crying. I was like, oh my goodness, what a lovely compliment and way to flip it and say that, you know, she was let into my world, and what a blessing and gift that was. And it was just, it's just so important for us to see all sides of an issue and come together and be able to have a safe place to have a discussion like this, to even feel comfortable enough to go up to another person and say that. Yeah. I really just think honesty and conversation and being approachable when people really do want to talk about real issues, and I was really honored that I got that experience, let alone the compliment, just that that it opened up that conversation for her, mm-hmm. and that I got to see her, that what she took away from our experience.
Yeah. Muska, what are your thoughts on ways we can change our behavior and language to make people feel mm-hmm. accepted and respected?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I have a lot of thoughts about that, but I think I want to kind of interrogate the question a bit, because I think it implies that the movie's objective is to educate white people about racism, and that it exists, and that it's kind of an exercise in helping white people learn how to approach racism. And I would push back on that a little bit. You know, I think mm-hmm. instead of thinking what can white people do and how do we educate white people, I think it's more important to me to look at this film more as a love letter to people of color, young people of color on the Cape. And mm-hmm. to say, you know, this is a success whether or not white people decide that they now have to acknowledge that racism exists. I think I would challenge that it's a success if people of color look at the film and go, wow, I'm not alone anymore. Mm-hmm. And wow, these women experienced what I experienced. So I think we can definitely have a conversation about things that white people could do to make us feel more welcome. But I do think that, you know, the real point of this movie is we need to stop thinking about white people, and we need to start thinking about how do we make people of color feel seen, and how do we help the young people of color on the Cape know that they have, you know, people and role models that they can go to.
Good point. The film covers a lot of ground in 11 minutes, and it ends on a really powerful note. Let's hear a clip from the last few minutes. We first hear Tiana and then Alejandra.
What I'm continuing to learn is that I think power comes in understanding that you're unique and that you're special. You have something that nobody else does. That power can never be taken away.
I am fierce. I am a woman. I'm an immigrant. I am proud. And yes, I am this.
Michael, what are you hoping audiences take away from the film?
It's a great question. I would have to almost kind of go back to what Muska was just talking about. When I made this film, it was very much tied to my own continuing evolution as you know, trying to become the best white ally that I can. So when I first started, I asked myself the same question that I ask whenever I make anything or any journalist asks themselves, which is, who is this for? And that took a long time. And because I did think at first, I need to show white people something. I need to show, you know, I had this kind of, this feeling that I needed to show something. And as soon as I realized that this film was, it couldn't be for a white audience, that it needed to be for other people of color to see and to connect and not feel alone, that I was clear that my job was to be kind of a conduit to the kind of, you know, to show these four women in this space. I just want whoever kind of needs to see this film to know that they're not alone, and that they may or may not have the same feelings, ideas, and perspectives that the that all four women showed us in the film.
The short film is titled White Space. We'll post a link where you can view the film at our website, capeandislands.org. Michael Sestero, filmmaker and founder of Up Above Creative, Moselle Andrulot, and Muska Yousaf, thank you so much for talking with us and sharing your experience and perspectives. It's just a lovely film. Thanks for sharing it with us.
Thank you.
For having us.
Thank you.